Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. So if you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call right now. Call in number 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number 844-322-2742. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. Again, the call-in number, lines open now at 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're a ministry to help you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ is simply this, that He is alive. He was raised from the dead so that you and I might have everlasting life. And this month we're talking about Jesus, the claims that He made. And we're asking the question that He asked of His disciples, who do you say that I am? That is the most compelling question I think that's ever been posed in our history. And it's a question that determines our eternal destiny. Your answer to that question determines your eternal destiny. But Jesus asked that question, and He made claims such as this, that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd, He said in John 10. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. In John 11:25, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Then He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And then He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus made these incredible claims about Himself. And as you read through these particular statements, He's basically saying, I'm the one who's going to meet your needs. I'm the one that's going to bring unconditional love and acceptance to your soul. I'm the one that's going to give you identity and meaning and purpose to life. I'm the answer to all of your human needs. Jesus Christ is the answer. And so with that claim, He demands a response. It's not enough just to hear these things. That's part of it. We have to hear what He has to say, but then we have to believe what He says to be true, and then to follow up with what faith would do at that point. So He says, I'm the bread of life, whoever comes to me. So we hear, I am the bread of life. Well, what are we going to do with that? Am I going to believe that's true? Well, if I believe that's true, then I'm going to go to Him so that I will never be hungry or thirsty. If I believe that He is the light of the world, then I'm going to follow Him. I'm not going to follow other philosophies. There's lots of philosophies out there in the world. Oh, yeah. And modern day is just incredible, this Enlightenment age that we live in, this age of reason and logic, and everything has a reasonable explanation. There's all kinds of philosophies that stem from that, but none of those provide light. They're just man-made philosophies. If we want light, Jesus is the light. And if we're going to experience that light in our lives, then we need to follow Him. We need to say no to all those other philosophies and yes to Jesus. If we want to know the way and the truth and the life, we need to go to Jesus. There's no other way to the Father except through Him. So Jesus made these, some would say, outlandish claims. No other human being has ever made such claims. I mean, if they have, then they are considered lunatics. I mean, the guys in the white coats come after them pretty quickly, but not with Jesus. There's something that just sounds right and true when these words roll off of His lips and when we read them in the Word of God. But the real question is this: do we believe that these claims are true? Do we really believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And if so, that's going to be a life changer, a game changer for us, as many would say. So let's talk about it on today's broadcast. How has Jesus changed your life?
Good question. Want to hear from you, friends. We have plenty of open lines. As a matter of fact, they're all open right now and awaiting your calls at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. We're on the air live, so you can be a part of the program, and we want you to call right now. Pose your question or your particular issue, and we'd love to discuss it with you. 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners that December is a very important month for Basic Gospel. Almost 25% of our annual revenue is generated in the month of December. And so we're dependent on people like you to rise up to this mission, to what God has called us to do in proclaiming him and helping people hear and believe and live this good news of Jesus Christ by praying for us and by supporting this outreach. Your gift of $25 puts you in the mix of providing the solution for many people out there who are looking for answers, who are searching for truth in Jesus Christ. So come help us with this great mission of proclaiming Jesus, of connecting people to his great love.
Yeah.
A gift of $25, $100, $1,000 will be a huge benefit to the ministry and will make a big difference in the lives of people all around the country. We need to hear from you today. We still have about 200,000, a little more than 200,000 that we need to have come in before December 31st. So help us meet that goal. We would greatly appreciate your help right now.
Absolutely. You'll find a prominent support link in the menu at basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. 844-41-BASIC. Well, we had an email question from Kurt, who listens online. Says, I thank you for your ministry. I believe I'm hearing truth being taught and shared every time I listen to your program. I am struggling with how to relate to the Holy Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit. I've never been taught these things. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Do I talk to the Holy Spirit the same way I talk to the Father and to Jesus? It's my sincere desire to experience the fruit of the Spirit in my walk with Jesus. I'm just not sure how to do it. That's from Kurt, who writes to us through the Internet.
That is a wonderful question.
Yeah, it is.
And it really, I think, points us back to this idea of faith. We're called to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, walking in the Spirit is just another way to describe that walk of faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm putting my full weight of trust in Jesus to do in and through me what only Jesus can do. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of this fruit that Paul describes in his letter to the Galatians. And if we're going to see that fruit produced in us, then it comes through abiding in him, or
right,
walking by faith in him. Now, what it means to walk in the Spirit is to follow what the Spirit is doing inside of you. For example, if someone has offended you, someone has wronged you, well, the Spirit of God is going to be working forgiveness inside of your heart, just as Christ forgave you. The Spirit is going to be moving you to forgive this person who has wronged you. So to walk in the Spirit at that particular point is to extend forgiveness to the person who wronged you and to be reconciled to that person. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Maybe you're wanting to know what to do with your finances. The Spirit of God is going to be working a generous attitude inside of you. Because God's a giver, then the Spirit of God is going to work in us to give. Mm-hmm. And so you ask, where should I give of my resources? And you pick something, and walking in the Spirit at that point is to sit down and to write a check and send it to the church or ministry of your choice. You may see other needs, and the Spirit of God is going to be working inside of you. Well, walking in the Spirit is really to step out and carry out what God is working inside of you. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. Kurt, I hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're on the air live, we would love to have your question by email. You can drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We love getting mail from you, and I'll be glad to address your question on a later edition.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Louise, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Not good at all. I don't want to go into long, drawn-out. This is where I'm living. It's very bad. They're doing construction, and they're breaking everything up, and they moved mostly everybody out, but I got another year, and I was bit by bugs and everything. But what I want to say to you is when I go to the people that this is called an SRO, single room occupancy, you got to share the bathrooms. When I go to the people that work here and tell them, the manager and them, like, they all say it's in your head, this and that. Yet I went to the doctor, and he had to cut open one of them, and he said they're bites, not bed bug bites, spider bites, and there's a trench outside. Anyway, I've gotten to the point where I actually picked up, which I haven't done in years, picked up a razor and cut myself. And I don't know, I'm supposed to get rides to the hospital. Now she throws the paper at me. Oh, this is not good enough. I mean, they're talking to me nasty, and it's like they're pushing me. And I don't know what I've done. I don't bother nobody. I keep to myself.
And this is folks in your building, landlord?
She's the manager, and they're gutting out the whole building. There shouldn't be anybody in here. Mm-hmm. The bathrooms, it's only three. Like bathrooms in the hallway, and that's like for like 20 people, and I caught fungus on my feet. I clean after other people, but like they're nasty.
Like what you need, Louise, is an advocate, somebody that will speak on your behalf, and in that situation. Maybe the manager, she's too preoccupied with the construction.
No, it's all of them. Even my worker, she just threw the paper at me now. Here, you can't get a ride to the hospital because I have to go to the hospital. I've been sick every day since I've called you, and I'm getting sicker and sicker. But in my heart, I say, God, I forgive them. But do I really forgive them? I want to grab them by their neck. They're torturing me.
Well, Louise, it's not a matter of forgiveness. At this point, you've got a problem that needs to be solved. And your heart of forgiveness toward them doesn't solve the problem. And that's what you want. That's why I was saying you need an advocate, somebody that can speak on your behalf in that particular situation. Now, what I'd like to do, Louise, I'm going to put you on hold and get some information, and maybe we can connect you to somebody that can speak for you in that local situation. But in the meantime, let me pray for you real fast, okay, Louise?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Louise. We thank you that you love her, that you care for her, that you've revealed Jesus to her in such a way that she knows you. I lift this situation to you. I pray that you can bring an advocate to her, somebody that can speak in her behalf and help solve this issue, not only at her home, but in getting to the places that she needs to get. This is a detail that you're interested in, and you are so interested in that you will help her see some solutions, and we trust you for that and thank you in advance for how you're going to work in Louise's life. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Louise, let me do this. Let me put you on hold, and I think we have some people there that could reach out and help you in this situation. So hang on. And we will get some information and get somebody to connect with you soon, okay? And we sure appreciate your call. You hang on.
Yeah. That's a tough situation that she's in, and we pray that somebody will step forward and help her. She needs help.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Jesus is our advocate when it comes to sin and all of those sort of things that we deal with in life spiritually. The Word of God says He's our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. And so we don't have to worry about those things. And sometimes we just need an advocate like that in our own lives.
Absolutely. Well, we have open lines right now. If there's something going on in your life you'd like to talk about and bring to the table, give us a call, 844-32-BASIC.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to England and talk to our good friend, Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hello. Hi, Bob and Davies.
Hi, Saab.
Hiya. Back again. I got a question today in Matthew 7, verse 21 and 21, 22, 23. You say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy on your name, in your name, drive out demons and all that? So what is that God is talking about in this passage, will of Father? What is that will of Father?
Well, the will of the Father is simply this, to believe in the Son. That's the will of the Father. And so they're standing there saying, no, we don't believe in the Son. We believe in the great things that we've done. We've believed in all the good stuff that we've made happen through our self-effort, our energy, our efforts. So they were pleading the wrong case. They weren't pleading the blood of Jesus. They were pleading their good works as their means of entry into the kingdom. And Jesus is going to look at those and say, depart from me. I've never known you.
Right. So today, nowadays, the people can do miracles and all that without accept Jesus Christ then.
Well, certainly there's a lot of people that say they're doing miracles, and certainly there's the forces of darkness that can do some pretty, what we would think of as miraculous things, but they're not done by the power of God's Spirit. So there are people that can go out and do this stuff, or at least it looks like they're doing this stuff, but that's what they're depending on. And the key to this, Saab, really is Matthew 7:15, watch out for false prophets. Well, down in verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7, he's talking about the end for false prophets. This is what their end is. So false prophets aren't people pointing people to Jesus. False prophets are people who point others back to themselves, back to them.
Right. Okay.
Does that help?
Okay, I got it now. So that means so this is going to be not outside the Christian, isn't it? Inside the Christian is going to be false prophets and all that, isn't it? It's a false miracle and all that.
Yes.
So let's say in the church, some churches, they're doing focusing miracles and focusing prophecy and all that. I just want to identify who are they, you know. That's what my concern.
Yeah. How do we identify a false prophet? And usually it's somebody that is bringing glory to themselves and not to Jesus Christ. If a person is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit, the message of that person is going to be the message of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit has promised, and the Holy Spirit, his job description, so to speak, is to take the things of the Lord Jesus and to make those things known to us. So if the Holy Spirit is doing a work in a person's life, and they have a public platform or a ministry, they're going to be pointing people to Jesus. A false prophet is not going to point somebody to Jesus. They're going to point people to, you go and do this, you can have these blessings, you can have this prosperity, you can have this healing, and they're going to put the emphasis on themselves and not the Lord.
Okay, so if some people doing miracles and then doing casting out demons and all that, and then but they don't believe on grace, gospel of grace, so they still in the law. So what? How can I identify them? What category they are?
Well, by their message, by what they're teaching. I think you just have to take what they're teaching and bounce it off the Word of God. You know, they want to shield you from the teaching. They want to deflect you from really examining what they're saying by all of these, quote, supernatural or spectacular things that they're doing. So they're saying, hey, that should be enough. So you don't need to question what I'm saying, but I think you need to dig in to what they're saying and compare that to the Word of God. That's how you're gonna determine who these false prophets are. First John wrote about that, test the spirits. And he basically said anyone that says that Jesus did not come in the flesh is not true. He's of the Antichrist. So that's how we judge those things. But just rely on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will give you some discernment in that case, Saab, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Saab. Thanks for your question.
Yes, indeed.
And we certainly need to be aware of false prophets because there are many out there, aren't there?
There are.
Yeah, it's not just a biblical problem. I mean, false prophets weren't just there back in Jesus' day. They're alive and well today.
You bet.
And we need to be aware of them. And it's just like the enemy to have these false prophets in our midst.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, on the surface, what looks to be wonderful things. But then when you start examining what they're really teaching, red flags start to be raised, and you think, oh my, that's not truth at all.
Yeah.
And you have to rely on the Spirit of God to give you that discernment.
Absolutely. Just a moment, we're going to go to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Valerie, listening on our longtime affiliate KORE. But, you know, my mind kind of flashes back to our conversation with Louise, you know, in relation to a new booklet that we have. She needs an advocate. There's no question about that, a human advocate. You know, sometimes life is tough, and it can hit us hard and hurt us very, very deeply, and that was certainly evident in Louise's call. In those times, it's hard to give thanks, but that's what God asks us to do. It's what he calls us to do. As Paul wrote, we're to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think of the Philippians 4 passage as well. So friends, if you're struggling right now and feeling overwhelmed by life, we have that new booklet containing 42 hope-filled truths that will overflow your heart with thankfulness. We do need human advocates sometimes. We do need to work through situations, but in the midst of it, we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Well, our booklet is called Do You Know Your Identity in Christ? And it's yours free to read online, to download, or to order hard copies from BasicGospel.net. Again, BasicGospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage. Do You Know Your Identity in Christ?
Well, let's quickly go to Eugene, Oregon, and talk with Valerie. Hi, Valerie.
Hi there. I just wanted to affirm that the gospel is for everybody. Others looking at me might think that I'm pretty successful in my life and can handle it, any little sin, and just keep going on my own power. But when I was released from a period of depression and fear and insecurity, I just grabbed onto the gospel and have just so much praise and delight to share that my children, my husband and I, we've sought to be godly people. Our son was a valedictorian when he graduated from high school, had a wonderful scholarship, and is able to be a godly representative on his college campus. Our daughter, a violinist now, and we just are so proud of what God has done for us and through us to spread the gospel as a picture of thanksgiving and success. And very quickly, I think it's like a drawing of a zinnia. There are so many petals, and we keep going out into the world and back to the center. And any little thing that we have to deal with in our lives, we may step away from the gospel now and then and think we can handle things on our own, but when we come back, we always reach the beauty of the center of that flower. And I just want to encourage those of you listening like Louise, many of us out here are praying for you, and there is a body of Christ that is here.
Absolutely.
Well, Valerie,
yeah. We appreciate so much hearing
from you. What a wonderful testimony, Valerie. Thanks for sharing that with us today.
Absolutely. We are out of time. And now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. And we'll see you again for another live edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow.